he planned this and he was of lucid mind. So that is what is very disturbing to me, that these people, and, you know, like I was, they're not crazy. It's just that they're in a cult.
Welcome to Crawl Space. I'm Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how are you today?
I couldn't be better, Tim. Fantastic day. We got a fantastic guest. How are you?
I am doing well, and you're right. We do have a fantastic guest. In fact, this is, I think, the third or fourth time we've spoken with Jitarth Jadeja, and he is a wealth of information about QAnon, and which is, you know, really a big cult. And I know it's got a political sort of backdrop to it, but ultimately it's a cult that is involved in some crime, and it's a cultural phenomenon that we can't help but dig into.
Yeah, and we even say it during the interview that it's something we don't really enjoy talking about, but we need to talk about it. And Jitarth goes further by calling it a doomsday cult, which I think is pretty telling coming from somebody who was involved with it and who knows how it is woven into the political establishment currently. And it's fascinating to hear how he has maintained contact with people who are currently in QAnon, who are affiliated, and those who have gotten out.
Right. I believe Jitarth is a moderator at Reddit's QAnon Casualties, which is where some folks congregate when they have left QAnon. So that's a pretty interesting project that he's got going on. And we spoke with him earlier this year in 2021. And again, he's just a wealth of information, and he kind of sees both sides of it because he used to believe in QAnon as a real thing, and his father still does.
And the reason why we reached out to Jitarth again and have him on was so we could talk about this tragic story of Matthew Coleman, the surfing instructor, who believed that his children had serpent DNA that was put into their bodies by his wife, so he proceeded to murder them with a spear gun. We felt like that was an important reason to revisit the QAnon topic with a QAnon expert.
Right. And we also touched on Gabby Petito, because one of the kind of bonkers rumors out there was that she was a crisis actor. And so we wanted to discuss that briefly with Jitarth. Okay, so I hope you enjoy this episode, and yeah, Jitarth is great to talk to. I mean, it's a lot. It's kind of fun talking with Jitarth. I mean, it really is, actually. But the subject matter, it just, you can't help get kind of depressed and a little hopeless at times talking about this stuff.
Yeah, right. It is a bit nerve wracking because you don't know who is affiliated and who has these beliefs that come with following QAnon, and Jitarth kind of says that. He's like, you can't tell who they are. They're just like anyone you pass on the street, and they could be your family members, like his father.
Okay, everybody, thanks a lot for listening. I hope you enjoy this episode.
And feel free to swing on over to crawlspace-media.com.
And we're going to play a quick word from our sponsor, and then we're going to get to the interview with Jitarth Jadeja. Thanks a lot for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the hosts of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the podcast, Jitarth. How are you today, Jitarth?
I am good. Thanks so much for having me back, guys. I wish I could say it was a pleasure to be here, because it is, but probably not for what we're going to discuss.
Oh, God. You, it's like you just crept into my brain, because what I was thinking was, it's a subject that I'm truly fascinated by, but I hate talking about it, but you have to talk about it, or else it won't get... the attention it needs, but it doesn't need attention. It just needs awareness.
But Jitarth is so much fun to talk to, too.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's just a fun hang, you know.
I'm glad someone thinks so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it blows my mind, and maybe this is just sort of the geek in me, that we're talking to you in the future. You're in the next day.
Yes, I am. You guys are behind as always. Like, Jesus, man. It's 7 a.m. here. It's a beautiful day. I think it's Tuesday. I'm not sure. I'm not working at the moment, so it's hard to remember what day of the week it is. But, you know, yeah, you got to get with the times, man. Like, you know, you got to keep up, move up, you know, keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah. I've been petitioning the government to just make one universal time. Why do we have to have different time zones? And it's... It's winter where you are.
It is. At least it doesn't snow. Yeah. I used to love snow because I never saw snow. And then I went to Switzerland for the first time. I saw snow. And then 15 years later, I got caught up in Canada at Toronto Airport for like 24 hours in the middle of a snowstorm while I was hungover after being drunk the whole night before. So I hate snow. So I'm very glad it doesn't snow here, to be honest.
Nothing good comes with snow.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I completely agree. See, I knew you were a fun hang. So, Jitarth, how are you doing? And what's new in your world?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I've just been focusing more on, I guess, looking after some stuff and just doing some life stuff that I'd kind of put on hold with all this QAnon discussion. I'm still doing a lot of moderation on the QAnon casualties subreddit, which is now 200,000 people almost, which is ridiculous. And yeah, I got a new job. I'm starting in February, moving out in a couple of months, and moving to Melbourne, doing data analytics consulting. So that'll be really fun. I can't wait. And in the meantime, I'm just watching this car crash in slow motion of QAnon, thinking, well, at least I was ahead of the curve, I guess. You know, it's like Game of Thrones. I read the books before the series was made. So, yeah, OG.
Okay, so we said the Q word, QAnon. That's what we're talking about. We had seen you on Anderson Cooper months and months ago, and you had discussed with him about how you thought that he was one of the cabal, the child eaters, and it was an incredible interview. So that's why we reached out to you, and we need to continue this conversation because of this batshit tragedy, this crazy, I don't even know what, it's beyond a crime, what this person, Matthew Coleman, did to his children. And yeah. And this is why we have to talk about this.
Yeah, it's not just, like, I don't want to be hyperbolic because it is very shocking. It's a crime, and children get killed by their parents, unfortunately, all the time. The distinction, however, is it wasn't just that he was going through a separation with his wife, and we've seen this a lot with, you know, fathers, for example, or even wives who take out their abuse on their children in order to hurt the other party. But he was quite upfront about it, which made me a little sus. But then I was looking a little bit more into it, and his friends were just corroborating exactly the kind of behavior that a typical QAnon person extols, which is just sitting, being obsessed with QAnon, being on his phone all the time, just obsessively reading over it and over it and over it. And it was almost like a catalyst. You know, like if he hadn't fallen into QAnon, this would not have happened. But this is a problem. This acts like a catalyst for people who are already in a situation where they're more predisposed to commit such a crime. And it's so tragic and so sad because it's so ludicrous. Like this idea that your children are going to grow up to be monsters. Where did you get this from? Like, but we know where you got it from. So yeah, I don't mean to be hyperbolic because it is hyperbolic. And I think the motivation and the intent is really what is concerning.
Absolutely. And I think you do have to be hyperbolic because how many times are we going to see this in the future? And also, did you see, when you were looking into him, did you see similarities between yourself and him at some level?
Yeah, exactly. Like, just as I referenced to before, the obsessiveness, pure obsessiveness with QAnon and conspiracy information, just being addicted to your phone, just being constantly absorbing all this different in like ideas and, you know, crazy beliefs, and one just gets crazier and crazier than the other to a point where you just spiral out of control and you're just unable to stop it. Like, I know he's expressed a lot of regret after. So hopefully he's come to his senses, but this is the thing. This man was not crazy. Like, it's not a temporary insanity defense. And I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know anything about that. But my point is that he was lucid. He knew what he was going to do. He drove the car there. He prepared. It's not like he, you know, put his freaking pants on his head and ran around, smeared shit on the walls, and then, you know, decided he needs to kill his children while they're in the room next door. Like, he planned this and he was of lucid mind. So that is what is very disturbing to me, that these people, and, you know, like I was, they're not crazy. It's just that they're in a cult.
Oh, yeah. This is a particularly sad one, especially with kids involved. And so you think he was genuinely, he believed these things. He wasn't, he's not using this as an excuse at this point.
No, I don't think so, because you would have had to then plan that out and that behavior in terms of acting the same way with your friends and your family for weeks and maybe months beforehand. It doesn't seem like a rational thing to do if you're just trying to get out of, you know, the highest court, the highest punishment for killing your children. The contemporaneous evidence does line up with what he's saying. And he volunteered it straight up. Like, someone, the police were talking to him and he said, yeah, dude, look, you know, I killed them because I thought they were going to be turned into monsters. And it's probably going to be hard to understand. But if you're so sure of something, right? And someone just comes up to you and asks you, you know, why did you do this thing? And you're sure of it. You're not going to hide it. And this is a really bad explanation, but he just said it. He's just like, this is why I did it. You know, this is why I did it. This is where I got the information from. I felt like I had to do it. And he was behaving very rationally in that regard. Like, that is how you would want someone who's committed a crime to interact with the police. It's not like he was lying and nothing came out. And I don't think the police want to straight up start some sort of panic and would advertise the fact that this was because of QAnon, like it was some sort of tenuous link. And they're just trying to sort of, I don't know, frame some, you know, pseudo political point. It just, the idea that it's not related to QAnon seems more of a conspiracy than the idea that it is related to QAnon, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And here's something that might feel random. And this was in one of our correspondence, because I literally didn't know how to address this. And I'm going to try to be as vague as possible, because I truly think that this is a potentially volatile situation. And I'm going to use we, and I'm going to be very general because I don't want to give out names or anything. But we had hung out with a friend who we hadn't seen in a long time. And this person has a job which puts them in contact with a lot of people. And the boss of that job, who had been there for a decade or more, owned the place that they worked, suddenly came out and said she doesn't trust the drinking water. And this is what our friend was telling us. They said, my boss just said the other day that she doesn't trust the drinking water because it's contaminated, because they are putting chemicals in it to turn us into their serpent people. And our friend laughed and said, asked her if she was kidding. And yeah. And we hadn't been talking about QAnon.
Yeah.
And I said, is this person into a QAnon believer? Is she a QAnon believer? And she said, yeah, I think so. And yeah. Her boss told her that she sees lizard people. And she said, have you ever seen the movie Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? You can see them. You can recognize them because their lips look like the lips on the turtles from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And we were kind of laughing. And I said, you have to tread so lightly around this person. This was just around the same time where the Coleman murders happened. Yeah. And we were laughing about it a bit, but there's a serious thread to it where
100%. I can totally imagine that situation. That's a very like nervous kind of laugh. Like you're not sure what to do. So like you're like, but like you're 100%, man. And look, there is a 80% chance she has never heard of QAnon. For sure. The QAnon, this conspiracy movement, has fractured and decentralized via different platforms, via Instagram, via Telegram, via Discord. It is completely fractured to the point where a lot of these crazy conspiracy beliefs that come from in and around the QAnon central community have flowed downstream into other communities who will openly tell you they've never heard of QAnon and they don't believe in QAnon, but they do believe in XYZ. So I guess like one example I could just use is just, dude, election fraud. Like the Republican Party thinking that Donald Trump somehow like got the election was stolen. Dominion voting, that directly came from the QAnon 8chan research boards. I had heard of it before it even came out. It was being talked about in 2018. It then Ron Watkins went on OAN in like November 2020 and talked about the exact same talking points after a flurry of activity. Donald Trump retweets it and then boom. You go on, it's like the Donald.win replacement. And they're all talking about election fraud, but they all think QAnon is full of shit, despite having no idea where the idea of election fraud came from. So that is a very, like, at least based in reality kind of, like, belief that originates from this community. The lizard thing, yeah, of course, like 100%. I mean, I used to think They Live, which is a great movie, by the way, was some sort of documentary. And that's essentially a documentary about like reptilians and in human skin taking over the planet. But your friend is, these people are everywhere. They are everywhere. Like I said, these people are not crazy in the typical sense where they are shitting in their hands, smearing them on the walls. You can't spot them out of a crowd. They just look like normal people. Matthew Coleman just looked like a normal guy. The police, the head of the police union in New York, who had a QAnon mug, you know, behind on his desk while he's doing an interview, he just looked like a normal guy. You've got GOP representatives who are just openly spouting QAnon shit on like Instagram. They just look like normal people. And the problem is that if this was sort of I guess it's the volume and speed at which these sort of conspiracy cults have propagated that is very disconcerting. And your friend's boss, like, you, first of all, your friend should definitely look for another job, like, as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Secondly, look, I've had American tap water, and I'm going to tell you right now, there is some shit in there, and which I'm like, dude, nah, it's not for me, man. It tastes a little metallic for me. All right, but that's probably because I'm a little sensitive, or maybe it just sucks. But either way, there's no, like, just, can you imagine what you would have to, what your world view would have to be to believe that not only are there lizard, you know, lizard people or reptiles or snake people, whatever she said, but then the crux of it is this savior complex that she can spot them, right? It's not as if they were lizard people and it's really hard to spot them and she's no better and she's only just learning because she just found out about it. No. She can spot them because of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and their lips are like kind of thick. It's the same thing kind of with like Matthew Coleman. It was, he has to stop the kids from becoming monsters. Like on a, like, let's assume that you thought your kids were to grow up to be monsters. There's a million things you can try first before you kill them. That seems like the most extreme. Why don't you send them to Bible camp, right? That's just a joke. But, like, why don't you try anything else? Like, why do you have to do it? Why do you have to do something so extreme? Because there's a savior complex which propels people to take personal individual action, and that's very disturbing.
And one of the most disturbing parts of what our friend's boss said was that she's very worried about all of this, but in 3 years we'll all return to paradise.
Yeah, that's the one thing that all QAnon people have in common. So if someone believes in some conspiracy theory, whatever it is, doesn't matter if they've heard of QAnon or not, and they have this idea of a date, where everything will be fine, the military, like the storm, essentially the Great Awakening, and specifically, like I think I mentioned it before, but just to reiterate, it's the unsealing of sealed indictments, declaration of martial law, military tribunals for civilians, followed by their public executions, and civilians being people, members of the cabal, like Hillary Clinton and, you know, Tucker Carlson, probably, who knows. But that's why I think that in terms of a sociological or a social construct, that the closest thing we have to describe QAnon is a doomsday cult, because that Great Awakening is their specific doomsday. And the problem with doomsday cults is, and this is, like, I'm not a psychologist, but like all the academic literature is out there, it's a very well-studied phenomenon for the last 40, 50 years. So people understand it pretty well. They might not understand cults completely well, but they understand how these things usually go. And the way they go is that essentially the doomsday cult has a prediction about a doomsday. Now the doomsday doesn't arrive. Some cult members go, you know, fade away, but usually they just get more evangelicalized in their beliefs. And they've either got the date incorrect, which happens all the time, or somehow their actions warded off the doomsday and their beliefs get reinforced instead of disavowed. This cycle continues, and eventually the doomsday cult gathers enough people to draw the ire of some authorities, and the authorities then go and impose sanctions and restrictions, which only further reinforces their beliefs. And it just goes into a vicious cycle where the stronger the beliefs and the actions get of the doomsday cults, the more sanctions that are placed upon them by authorities, and then the more stronger their beliefs get, and blah, 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 to the point where they eventually come to the conclusion that they need to bring about their doomsday. And for most doomsday cults, their doomsday is like, oh, the apocalypse, or, you know, the aliens from heaven or whatever. But with QAnon, it's just military, like a military dictatorship, martial law specifically. So there are the sanctions that are being pushed onto them now are only reinforcing their beliefs and helping the movement pick up steam. And your friend's boss, she might not be anyone, most overwhelming majority of them will not do anything. Most people in any group don't do anything. But the fact that she believes this means that she'll probably stand by and watch someone else do something without a second thought. And she, we're like, what do you think your friend's boss is going to do when in 3 years nothing happens from her perspective? Like, what do you think?
She'll probably make excuses. I would assume that there would be some excuses made, but I thought you were going to say
preparations. Though she'll make preparations.
Oh,
right?
I can't imagine where she's going to be in 3 years if she's escalating at this rate.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a 60-something-year-old woman who has achieved a lot in her life. She owns a company. She employs people. Mm. She runs payroll. And then she buys into this. It just, like, it's so hard for me to make that distinction.
She probably hasn't achieved as much as she wanted. I think, and it's purely anecdotal, but I think that there's a distinct connection between the disconnect between the point of where you are in life, in your stage of life, say your social status or your career or relationships, and where you think you should be or where you want to be. And that gap is almost directly proportional to how far down the rabbit hole you will fall. So while she could be a very successful small business owner, for example, maybe she thought she should be much better. Maybe there were missed opportunities in her life. It's hard to tell, right? Like, we're just making wild speculation about this person that we don't really know that much about. But it's, yeah, it doesn't, it's not a matter of achievement, you know? Like, you can be, everyone's susceptible to cults. They function as a way that basic human society functions in the terms of an in-group, out-group. And you're 100% correct when you say this happened so quickly. This is a problem. If this was 1,000 years old, we wouldn't be talking about this. This is 4 years old, and it started on fucking 8chan, like the 4chan of 4chan. So it is scary. And Matthew Coleman, this was not like the first person to do related to QAnon. There was a couple of weeks ago in France, there was a QAnon related incident of kidnapping that was pretty big news in the European news. In April earlier this year, there was a mother who killed her children because she didn't want them to be taken by the pedophiles in her town, which were running a pedophile ring that involved like the sheriff and the mayor and whatnot. Like, what does that sound like to you? And there's lots of these cases, dozens of these cases that have happened that are not related to the Capitol riots, that are just individuals taking action. And it's been going on for years. It started in 2018. There was that guy who sort of took Hoover Dam hostage. There was a guy who killed a mafia boss. And these things are accelerating. Like, it's an exponential acceleration. In 1 year, we could see a dozen more incidents. In 2 years, we could see 50. In like, God, I don't even want to think about it. You could see hundreds in like a matter of years, in 10 years, but that's probably a little hyperbolic. But it is very scary. And the worst thing about it is that we're just starting to get a grasp of the situation. It's so hard to understand what's going on, let alone to counter it. And I feel like we're moving way too slow on this part.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, what can you do to stop it? Or, I mean, is there anything that comes to mind that could derail this woman? We'll just use this hypothetical woman as an example now. But I mean, what would you do to try to stop her from going down this rabbit hole?
I mean, first, I would try and find out what she believes. Secondly, I would try and would not really focus on her beliefs, focus on her behaviors. Because if she thinks this, she's taken other behaviors in her personal life that is very out of the normal, right? Maybe she bought like a gallon, like a literal truckload of water. Maybe she spent money there. Maybe she spends too much time on the internet. The lack of personal connection as well with these individuals is always going to propagate them more into their QAnon conspiracy crowd. You need to sort of find a way to de-radicalize them. And unfortunately, I don't know exactly what that way is. My dad is still in QAnon, and like I haven't been able to de-radicalize him, right? With this lady, I just think that it's something that her family, there has to be a reason why she fell into QAnon. There has to be a reason. She must have experienced some kind of tragedy. Like, did someone pass away? Did she lose, is her business, you know, doing badly? Like, there is a reason people gravitate towards these cults that tend to espouse, you know, a sense of meaning and self-worth. That is what I would address. And first thing I would do is, I mean, just such, it's a little silly, but like in Australia, for example, you are allowed 10 free free trips to a psychologist a year. That's like, you don't pay for, that's just part of the public health care. Americans don't have anything like this. Like seeing a psychiatrist in the US is fracking expensive. There's zero mental health service that's available that is not going to cost you a lot of money. And I think providing that as just a base level has to be something that has to happen, but that's not the only thing that has to happen. I mean, without knowing more about this lady, I can't really go into more specifics, but maybe distracting her, getting her out of the house, like it's just, it really depends on the person. So yeah,
you said that maybe something happened with her business during COVID, and she does own a place that interacts a lot with the public, and they were one of the places that, you know, wasn't deemed essential, and they were shut down for a little while. So she had plenty of time to distract herself with the QAnon rabbit holes, and I'm sure that's when it all happened. But we don't need psychological counseling over here, Jatar. We're too tough for that.
Yeah, we have cigarettes and horses.
And that's steak.
True. That's true. Look, and all those things are great. I'm not gonna lie. No, but like, it's just, this is something that needs a top-down and bottom-up approach, and from the side. Like, I just think that this really does need to be actioned on all levels, including things like allowing them back onto Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, which I know sounds insane, right? But hear me out. When Reddit banned QAnon, it was very back in the early days. And QAnon hadn't really taken a foothold. It was just a very small enclave that we were. And when Reddit banned us, that put a big dent in the number of people who were able to access that information. When Twitter and Facebook banned QAnon, it had already metastasized. It was already spread. There were already hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people talking about this kind of information. And this, even though they were on the platform and there was a risk of other people finding their ideas, there's also more of a chance that other people will debunk their ideas because there's more normal people on the internet, which is saying a lot considering the types of people on the internet. But they also lost any element of control that they had over the conversation, because while you're on these platforms, you can't be racist, you can't be sexist, you can't have death threats and call for violence and all that kind of stuff. So you have an element of control over their conversation. By removing them, you didn't do anything. You didn't make a dent in their numbers. You didn't stop the spread. It had already metastasized far beyond that point, and you lost it all, and you gave up control over that conversation for nothing. Like, what value was it? You just pushed them out of polite society, and then all these studies came out saying, oh, dude, QAnon is dying because there's less chatter on social media. And it's like, bro, are you actually a social academic? This is embarrassing. Like, yeah, because they banned it. And all it's done is spread through, like, Telegram, for example. All it's done is spread through, like, 8chan or even Facebook groups, which is still hard to, like, stop. And, like, that, you need light. You need disinfectant. If it wasn't for Mike Rothschild and his debunking, I would still be in QAnon. And that never would have happened if Mike was unable to find out what people in QAnon are saying, which also makes it hard for researchers who I know a lot of, who find it incredibly difficult to then find their way into these enclaves. Because while there might be 100, like Linwood's Telegram group, last time I checked, had like 800,000 people in it, right? But there's so many of them, it's hard to keep tab now because they're not centralized. That's one way. Like, another way I would say is disprove the connection between Donald Trump and QAnon. And I know what I mean is not, I'm not talking about it's not semantics. What I'm talking about, disprove the specific connection that Q specifically stated that they have with Donald Trump. Show the level of manipulation that goes into these fake predictions and fake, like, vague, like, concepts that anyone can latch on to. Show Q, like, the thing that really got me against Q was the mechanics within Q's own ecosystem that he had set up, that he broke his own rules multiple times. Show that. Talk about the trip codes. Look, you need to look further than Ron Watkins. Ron Watkins is not, like, yeah, I get it. He's a big swinging dick in the QAnon community, right? But he didn't start QAnon. And it's just, like, you need to show who started it. NBC did a good article about who started it. But, like, these both Tracy Beans, Paul Ferver, and, God, I can never remember this guy's name. I forgot, James something, Patriot and not. Like, Tracy Beans ran for, like, a place in the Republican Party, so some Republican Party position. And I don't think she won, but, like, that's her clearly intent. She's facing no consequences for having propagated this. I mean, you really need to look at this as, like, a cult. Like, that's the only way. But it's so much more than that, but that's the best way of looking at it. And I think it's very politicized at the moment, which is fine. I don't think that's wrong. But I do think that by the time that people understand the threat that these people could be and are, we're going to end up in a situation where, like, you know, it's like the war on terror or the war on drugs, except it's the war on QAnon, you know, Q adjacent, and it's taking place on home soil. That is my concern.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Thanks to our sponsors. And now we're back to the program.
Now, how does somebody like your father, even yourself, when you're immersed in all of this, and someone who is obviously aligned with QAnon in Marjorie Taylor Greene, people like that, how can they read an article about Matthew Coleman and what he did to his kids and not say this is fucked? and not say this is now entered into a really awful reality.
Come on, dude. What do you like? Come on, fake news. What do you mean?
Oh,
like,
so it's right. Crisis acting and all that. Yeah,
that's easy. And then on top of that, if they do acknowledge, they did that with Ashley Babbitt. If they do acknowledge it, look, but then second, oh, he's Antifa. Third,
right.
Like the false flag. Like fourth, it's just like, oh, you know, he was right. Fifth, like, you know, oh, they were probably Jewish, right? Like, this depends on who you ask. There's so many ways to instantly dismiss this that I don't like. I looked for discussions, and like, yeah, that was barely anyone batted an eye. No one even batted an eye. They don't. People in QAnon honestly do not believe that this idea that, for example, you can go back to sleep. They believe once your eyes are open, they're always open. They would never believe that anyone who was formed, like someone who used to believe what they believe, doesn't believe that anymore. Like, there's no rational, you're not dealing with rational actors. You know, rational actors, even in economics, have access to information. These guys, they're not rational. They're completely irrational. And you're really dealing almost with just like an animal. And nothing like this will get through to them. Nothing, there's no X equals, no, dude, look at this. X is bad, yes? And then QAnon says, yes. And this is X. QAnon says, yes. Therefore, this is bad. No, thank you. That, like, it doesn't matter.
How is your dad doing?
Look, in terms of his behavior, he's great, right? He's back to his regular old self, regular old dad, you know? Like, it's not like he resents me or anything like that. Like, it's almost become kind of a joke in our house where he's like, oh, you're talking to the cabal, they are brainwashing you. And I'm like, yeah, dad, I'm totally brainwashing. And he'll have like a half a smile on his face. So my dad's doing really well. He's starting to try and focus back on working on his patents, which is why he retired. I'm supposed to fix his laptop, but I haven't done that. So that's my fault. But at the same time, yeah, he still believes in it and he's still confident. And he still strongly believes in it. It's not like his belief is lacking. He told me like a month ago that the storm was 100% happening in like a week, right? So I can't talk to my dad about politics or world events and stuff like that anymore, which is sad because that's the only kind of like father-son bonding activity that we had. But then again, like in terms of all the families that have been ripped apart by QAnon, I mean, that's probably very lucky.
Have you, speaking of crisis actors, have you heard about the Gabby Petito case? And I'm just curious if that came up on QAnon casualties. People were claiming she was a crisis actor.
Yeah, of course. Like, I didn't pay too much attention to it, but yeah, people like it. Like I said, it's so decentralized and segmented that depending on the platform, depending on how they access and interact with their QAnon community, you'll find that a lot of people on Pastel QAnon, which is like Instagram, which is kind of like these health and fitness networks, were more interested in this particular case, whereas people on say greatawakening.win or Telegram weren't more very interested. They had their own kind of stuff going on with the Arizona audits and whatnot. So yeah, it's just, they'll say whatever they need to do to prove that they are correct. Like they will either say she's simultaneously, what happened simultaneously is fake and real, depending on how it fits their beliefs. At the same time, I saw a lot of that.
It's interesting to me when you have, I could see how they could say something like that about Ashley Babbitt, because that was pretty directly related to what could have been interpreted as a QAnon movement. But what's the benefit in calling Gabby Petito a crisis actor? I mean, it was a missing young woman who was later found dead. and it's sort of unfolding in real time. But
seems to have come out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, why did they jump on that bandwagon and say crisis actor? There's no like political agenda to her murder.
Everyone kind of jumped on that bandwagon, right? Yeah. So they are naturally going to say crisis actor because that's their default position. Crisis actor. That's their default position. Secondly, the benefit is to them that it reinforces their beliefs. That's all they're looking for, because there's nothing overt that has happened that has reinforced their belief, right? Like, you know, nothing like Hillary Clinton's not in jail. Donald Trump didn't win. Like, John Durham is like, I don't know where the hell he is, but nothing has happened. All the predictions that Q made is wrong. So they are constantly they live almost in like an inverse world where all that is fake is true and all that is true is fake. But they are just looking for validation in any way, shape, or form for their beliefs. And they are like, I saw a photo yesterday of I forgot what bay it was. There was a docking bay for loading ships, and there was like 55 ships just stuck in this port, right? And Q had like taken a photo of the port or posted a photo of the port or something like that, because it's a main port in and out of the state. And someone was posting that up and talking about how Q predicted it, and everyone was jumping on board. So, and that is a strong, like, that was at least, you know, a port that existed and there was a photo. So these people aren't interacting with news and the world the same way you and I are, where unless we're given a reason to disbelieve something, that we would on the whole believe this, right? Like, why wouldn't we believe that Gabby Petito was murdered by her boyfriend? Like, someone would have to explain, give us a reason not to believe or say it was fake or something like that. But yeah, they don't take in information the same way that normal people do, because they're not normal.
Now, has there been any chatter about the possibility that Donald Trump will be reinstated? Is that still ongoing? Because I know that was like...
Well, that doesn't stop. That's not even like...
Bro, they just come up with a new date?
Yeah, it was like, dude, 2022, you'll see like just constant... there's Red October now. There's a big thing. Red October comes around every fucking October. Red October, Red October. It's always just around the corner, right? When Facebook went down earlier, like a couple weeks ago, a week ago, that was the 10 days of darkness, 10 days of darkness. This constant chatter about Donald Trump being reinstated, and that will not stop until if and when like he goes like, you know, for the Republican primary again.
What's Red October?
Oh, it's Red October is the day that, you know, the storm will happen, the 10 days of darkness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's just a cultural phenomenon that they've latched onto and made it their own.
I was really hoping for something better.
Yeah, that happens every October. Yeah, no, that's it. That's all that happens.
Is it the only month that they attribute a color to?
No way. Every month, there's something. Someone said, did June, July, this, blah, blah, blah. Or the Constitution was signed here, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was looking kind of for more about the Gabby Petito thing, and there's just really nothing else there about it that I found, other than she was in a video about Sandy Hook. She was in a music video about Sandy Hook, but I don't know how that makes her a crisis actor or her fake. Or whatnot,
everyone's a crisis actor, lads. Like, everyone. What do you mean, dude? This is not a real conversation. We're not talking. Yeah. We're just talking about CIA and blah, blah, blah. We're both paid, right? Like, wow. Like, for example, they barely acknowledge me, which I'm not complaining about, by the way. I'm very happy with this, right? And the few times that they did, they're like, because I was in some made for TV Australian movie when I was like 8 or something. Like, I have an IMDb. And they were like, look at this actor that CNN hired. And like, that was it. That was it. It doesn't matter.
That's all it takes.
Crisis actor.
Okay, so you've actually been called a crisis actor.
Yeah, an actor. Like, not even a crisis act, like an actor. Because there's, like, an IMDb of me in, like, some old Australian movie when I was, like, 8. For, like, 4 scenes, by the way.
What's the movie? Feel free to plug.
No, it was called Singapore Sling, like, Road to Mandalay. It had John Waters in it, which is, like, he's, like, a famous... He's like, a very... Look, as people in Australia know him, put it that way. Like, people in Australia over like 50 know him.
Do you say John Waters?
Like, yeah.
Like the John Waters, the filmmaker? Like Pink Flamingos?
No, dude. The other John Waters. That's his brother. Oh.
Yeah, the serpent John Waters.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The one who directed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Not to be confused with John Watterson. Who was his brother, who was also directed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but the secret one, the CIA one.
Right. Is the serpent thing and the monster thing, that is that something that comes up over and over?
Yeah, the serpent thing is kind of a like a cousin of the reptilian thing. They're very similar and they sort of overlap. And they, like, those two beliefs have, I guess, they go way back. I think, to some really old conspiracy theories, and they're quite, it like I said, it really depends on which QAnon community or QAnon adjacent community he was getting his information from. Like, the stuff my dad talks about is not the stuff that, say, people talk about on 8chan. It's not the stuff that Lidwood talks about in his Telegram group. It's not the stuff that Ron Watkins talks about. It's not the stuff that any number of Facebook group talks about. It's not the stuff that a group with someone on who's following QAnon on through Pastel QAnon on Instagram talks about. But that is, like, I've heard that before because I was a big reptilian guy. The serpent and the snake, and it goes back to, like, the snakes and Garden of Eden and the snake offering Eve the apple. Things like that. So it's definitely something I've heard of and I'm reasonably aware of, but it's just one of many.
Who is providing, I don't even know how to ask this question, but I wrote it down. When did you first hear about this, like, serpent DNA? And if you can remember, and where does it come from in the first place? And where did they say that this comes from?
So I first heard about it was probably around 2018 somewhere, when I was doing some reading in terms of, I think it was just some, like, conspiracy books, like talking about history and history and just like conspiracies and whatnot. I guess some kind of cousin to, like, ancient aliens or something like that. The serpent DNA is something I've heard even Alex Jones talk about this, and it is, like, essentially some sort of corruption that was placed into the DNA of people in order to corrupt them. I guess that's the best way of putting it. So the same way the serpent or the devil, who's the devil, by the way, right, used the apple to corrupt Eve, that is the same way this serpent DNA is being used to corrupt humans. And it is a more technologically updated story of a very old version that goes literally back to the Garden of Eden. So that's roughly what I know about it.
So there is some roots in religion, or at least the Bible.
Yeah.
Are people religious in QAnon? Because I know that Coleman... He was a bit religious, right?
100%. It didn't used to be like this. It used to be more secular, it wasn't even a pro-Republican thing and anti-Democrat. It was more bipartisan, like the cabals in both parties. But Q used a lot of Bible phrases. So that naturally, people like, say, not hardcore Christians, but like, Christians and Catholics, they really gravitated towards it. And everything, it is very, very quasi-religious at the moment. And there is a disproportionate over-representation of conservative Christian individuals who are attracted to QAnon specifically because of this religious like marriage, I guess you could say, to the point where it is very prevalent in churches, very prevalent. You've got congregations who are being preached to by this. Like, I'm sure you guys have seen the, like, you know, those televangelists and the preachers and the, you know, they have the whole stadiums. You have, like, they were always Donald Trump's, like, big supporters, main support base, via Michael Pence. And despite the fact that Donald Trump threw Mike Pence to the wolves, because that's what he does, they still support him. Those kind of people have been preparing for the rapture and judgment day and whatnot for ages, forever, you know? And it's a big business. And the preachers are now sort of latching on to this. There's lots of former ministers and preachers who have come out trying to shine a light on that issue, that this is completely seeped its way into the heart of conservative Christian culture and life and theology and teaching. But just these communities are very insulated. You know, they're not going to talk to the mainstream media. They wouldn't talk to the mainstream media before Donald Trump came along. Why would they talk to them now? And absolutely. That's the biggest overlap at the moment within demographics of QAnon.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but in a hypothetical scenario, what if Matt Coleman came out and said that, you know, QAnon is not a real thing. I was disturbed when I did this. Totally wrong. On top of that, what if they broadcast his trial? And then what if his wife, because I don't believe his wife or family have made any comments yet, but what if she came out and said exactly what happened and how he went down this rabbit hole with QAnon?
I think that, despite whatever most QAnon people would say, 100% that would help.
Oh, okay.
Like, despite, because the number one thing that helps people leave cults is listening to other former cult members, because they can empathize. And that will not, like, that's not going to, like, there will be, my point is that will definitely help. People will see themselves in Matthew Coleman, understand where he's coming from, be horrified at what he did and be concerned at what could happen to them and what has happened to them. So that would definitely help, right? And we would need more of that. Like, there are other former QAnon people who are speaking out, which is great. And I'm very happy to see that all the time. So that would definitely help. That would be the number one thing, I guess, you could do.
And when are you getting your podcast where you have on people who have gone through not only QAnon, but other cults, other doomsday cults, other, you know, experiences like this, and come out the other side?
Well, that, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to make QAnon my thing, right? Which is, I know this sounds really strange considering that I do a lot of it, but I just, like, that would take up all of my, I would literally have to make QAnon my thing. And I can't do that. I cannot, like, I made it my thing before. I can't be obsessed with it now in the opposite direction. I'm not saying that, like, maybe I will have to do that at some point, right? But I'm trying to avoid doing that for as long as I can, because, bro, I hate QAnon so much. I hate it. It is so toxic and nefarious. And I think in time, what you are saying, some kind of, like, cohesive movement of former QAnon people, I think that this will happen. Like, I don't know when. It is starting to happen. Unfortunately, the subreddit is not very active, but QAnon casualties is taking up a lot of my time. However, it's very hard to get, because look, let's be real, dude, this is very embarrassing to be part of QAnon, okay? This is not like, it's not like it's great to be part of any cult, but, like, you know, someone who is, like, ex-Mormon, right, or ex-Scientologist, you know, the stories are like, oh, like, I was raised in it as a child. And it's like, yeah, dude, like, it's, of course, man, like, it's Like, it's not your fault, right? It's very shameful and embarrassing to admit that this was something that you believed in, because it's so ludicrous and so ridiculous. But I think that will happen in time. I just don't know. I just wonder, like, how before we finally, as a society, look at this and construct this as like almost called a mental health problem, a de-radicalization problem, and at the same time not fall into the trap of demonizing them as much as they demonize us, there will be prices that have to be paid. There will be suffering that has to happen. And I do not think that for any second that we have seen the worst of it, the last of it. I don't even think it's been that bad, even though it's been really bad and people have died. Like, this thing is just getting started.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.